All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
So let's get it going. Let's get it going. Yeah, on this 3rd of July, one day before the 4th of July, you know what I mean? It was one of those middle of the week holidays. And if you really think about it, we haven't had a middle of the week holiday this year. You know, like, I mean, a real holiday where people are getting off from work, where people who have to go to work are getting a day and a half, double time and a half, however your job is set up and however it's structured. You know, you going in there getting that gwizzy, get the gwizzy, gwizzy, get the gwizzy, gwizzy, guap. Anyway, it's July 3rd. It's a hot day in the city, you know, this summer. And I mean, this total summer, we haven't had the real heat since beginning of summer, June 21st, whatever. We haven't really had any hot days. Matter of fact, it's been a cool summer. But today was it's been a little warm. Yesterday was a little bit warm. I think tomorrow's gonna be a little bit warm. Matter of fact, let me check the temperature. Let me see what the temperature looking about. Like, oh, it's 90 right now. Hold on. Is it 90? Is it 90, baby? Is this going to define? Okay, it's 88. All right, so yeah, you know, at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 88 degrees at that time. That's pretty warm. What are we looking like for the rest of the night? It's going. Okay, so, you know, yeah, the heat is starting. So, yeah, tomorrow, barring the rain and all of that, you'll be able to cook out. You won't be having a jacket on tomorrow. You know, it's going to be good and warm. It's going to be a good look. But anyway, tonight on this Power Monday, July 3rd, on the Daily Go Get a Business Show, we are talking about the most important thing that you own. What is the most important thing that you own? Is it a material item? I mean, it can be a material item. That's first of all. Matter of fact, I'm looking for material items. What is the one item that you own, that you physically own, that you have paid money for, that you own, that you feel either defines your existence, keeps you on this earth in a good way, it does something for you that has significant importance in your life, in your existence. So, for example, for a lot of people, the most important thing that they own is their home. They own their house. And that's an understandable thing. With a house that you own, you have equity in your home. You can sell your home. You can rent out your home. You can borrow against your home. You know, your home is arguably the most important item, the most important material or financial item that you own. Yeah. It might be really, really high up there in business and on a personal level. For a lot, you know, the house is not only where you lay your head down, it's also where your children grow up in. So they're going to have memories of that house that they grow up in. It's where they come home from school, whether you're talking about kindergarten, preschool, kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, junior high school, college. It's the family home. It's a big deal. It's not a small thing. It is a big deal. I get you. Yeah, I get you. You bastard. I don't know where y'all have come from. But I know you gotta go. And I know you got cousins, you motherfucker. I'll take care of you later, motherfucker. So, yeah. So, a house. And your house may be a showplace for you. When you have guests coming to your house to entertain, that's where you have your parties. That's where you have your graduations. That's where you have your prom send-offs. That's where you, if you have a big home, that has lots of rooms. That might be where your family comes to stay with you when they come. You know, when they coming from out of town. You know what I mean? You might have a pool in your crib, in ground pool in the back, heated pool, you know, your home. Your home might be that thing. Man, look, all of this other stuff I had, that's one thing, but I ain't trying to lose my crib. I ain't trying to desecrate my crib. I ain't trying to lessen the importance of my house, my house. So a house is definitely a material item. And would we consider a house to be a material item? It has to be. Although it may be an emotional item too, a personal item too, it costs a lot of money. The house that you own might be the most expensive item that you had that you own, period. Outright, no way around it. And that might be in the price that you paid and of the value that it holds. So is it your home? Is it your house? Now, if you just reduce where you live to a roof over your head, then you can't claim your home because you don't own an apartment or even a house that you rent. So it might be the most, where you live might be the most important thing that you pay for, but it's not the most important thing that you own. And tonight, this conversation is about what you own. So your house might definitely be up there. But for a lot of people, it's their car. Now, a lot of people don't drive, and a lot of people don't want to drive, and a lot of people don't even think that it's important to drive, especially people who are afraid to drive. You know what I mean? You won't hear them or see them talking about how important it is for them to have their ride. But for a lot of people, their car might be their livelihood. You know, in the case of people who make money off of Uber and Lyft, or maybe just a straight up taxi cab, or if their car is the thing that they need in order to transport them to the place where they can go to work to make the money to be able to live the way that they want to live and take care of their family and live good and decently. And for a lot of people, especially young people, and it ain't just young people, but for a lot of people, their car is the most important thing because that's how they get their shine on. That's how they get the bitches. That's how they get the girls. The girls, 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 it's girls I do adore. Now, years ago, I would have said that that's mostly a male thing. Men are the ones who get the girls with the cars and all of that and you know, compete with other men about their cars and all of that. But there are plenty of women out there that love their cars too. There are plenty of women out there that ain't going to, I've known plenty of women that ain't going to walk this earth, be on this earth without having a car. You know, for some people it's that deep. And some of those people I'm talking about are women, not men. Everybody has their thing. And for some women, their house is their car is their thing. They like to have a nice ride too. Some people I know stay with a car note. They pay off one car note, go get another car note. They go get another ride. I ain't mad at them. But for some people, their car is their most important item. Straight up and down. Yeah, the place that they live, you know, that's cool. But some people, we've all known people probably that live with their mom, live with their dad or whatever, and they got a nice ride. You know what I mean? Here it is. You got a fresh new Chevy Camaro. V8 muscle car thing is burning everything in its path. Beating everything on the throttle. But you live at the crib. Rent cheaper and allows you to be able to pay for this car. You got a Benz outside, but you reside up in your crib. So your crib is not your pride, but the car is, and everybody knows the biz. You always under the hood, and you stood on principle when it came to your car. And that thing takes you really, really far as you're concerned. Yo, you got to learn that you ain't driving my car. It's my turn. All right. Well, Right now, this ain't a judgment zone. I'm not judging you on whatever your most important material item is, the thing that you own. But for a lot of people, it is the car. For a lot of people, it is the car. What's going on, Carol Chamber? Lend me, friend me, favorita. Rita. And also, Stacey White, what's going on tonight? Thanks for coming on through. Hope you're shining bright. And T. Carrie Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my people go with right and directly into your sight. And my brother, Ansel Jones. Yeah, Baltimore, brother, girl, can't leave me alone. Thanks for coming through, y'all. Appreciate me some y'all. Yes, I do. T. Carrie Wright says, my house, my phone, and my refrigerator. Well, well, well. Now, I ain't going front. You coming up with, that wasn't on my radar. I know you too damn bold, son. You going to get it. You going to get it. I don't know if y'all noticed, but every summer I go through this shit. Every summer, I got to go through this shit. A fly gets in here and he gets fly in here. I don't know. I got to find a way to seal the house. Anyway. Pitch. I see.
Got your way.
All right. So, T. Carrie Wright says, my house, my phone, my refrigerator. Wow, my phone. I guess for a lot of people, it is the phone. I never thought of that. But, shoot, many of y'all watching this show on the phone. A lot of people that I know watch TV only on their phone. A lot of people I know, they don't watch regular TV. Some people I know don't even have a TV in their crib. But they got their phone. They might watch their phone. They might watch shows on the TV from their phone or on a monitor or something like that. So, plus your phone is now your computer. So that's for your email. You might even, if your phone is like my phone, you have Word documents, Microsoft Office documents and stuff on that. You can, back in the day, you couldn't create with Office all the way with any phone, but now you can. So the phone has replaced the laptop, the tablet, and the desktop for a lot of people. So, okay, that's a good one. And my refrigerator. You might have to explain that one. Now, a refrigerator is a nice thing to have, especially if you have to keep food cold. But I never would have thought I would have heard that rank. Even with Carol Bougie of Chamberlain and, her stainless steels, side by side. I ain't see it coming. Right, Carol? Okay. So, all right. But we thinking here. Now, some people may say that their kids are the most important thing they own. You don't own your kids. And you don't own your family. I understand what you mean when you say my kids, my family or whatever, but you don't own that. Especially when you violate them or abuse them or something like that, then the state will definitely tell you what you own and what you don't own. But let's just keep it funky here. No, you don't own your chair. You own your chair. No, you don't own your children. But for some people, it might be their wedding ring. Their wedding ring. I put it all on my ring. I put it on my wedding ring. Now, you don't own your marriage either. but you may own the status that marriage has given you. So for a lot of people, that wedding ring is symbolic of their marital status. And they would do anything in order to highlight their marital status, anything. Now, you may know people like this. I definitely know people like that. And in their world, it makes sense. You know, in this world out here where they see on social media all these chicks out here scrambling, fighting over these dudes that are messing around with every girl and, you know, being side chicks and all that kind of stuff. And they like, I ain't got to go through all of that because I am wife. Why I got paper. He leave me. He gonna have two P-P-P-P-A-Y. And it's because I'm his wife. Well, to some people, their marital status is a very, very important thing. And their wedding ring is symbolic of that. I mean, it has to be. And sometimes a wedding ring just costs a lot of money. Wedding rings cost a lot of money, and it's symbolic of their marital status. And you know marital status is very important for some people, because if it wasn't really that important to some people, then it wouldn't be such a big deal when you go to court. If you get convicted of a crime and, okay, if you get arrested and tried for a crime, your marital status is definitely going to come into question, because it weighs in on the court about your support system. And during sentencing, they may take that into consideration about how long you should be incarcerated and the support that you will receive while you are incarcerated. And if you will be eligible for conjugal visits and things like that. Marriage affords a lot of things for people that single people or people who rather be single don't always think about. So, you know, men who care about, who concern themselves with losing everything or half of everything when they are in a divorce, they probably shouldn't be married in the first place. If divorce is constantly on your mind, or the fear of divorce is constantly on your mind, then you don't need to be married. So that ring is not... it's not even a safe space for you. It's not even a symbol of anything secure for you. But for those that it is, they look at their marriage. They may look at their marriage as the thing that has given them everything. So they may only have their house because of their marriage. They may only have their cars, their children, their family, all of the other material things that they own may only be because they are married. Maybe in your single status, you're not even motivated to go out and do things, have things, build things, and all of that. I've known people who are like that. They have to be married. When they are single, they are just a whole mess. They can't get it popping. So that wedding ring, and I'm going to say the wedding ring, not necessarily the wedding band, because the wedding band for the man, now, it's not that men don't value marriage. Like I was talking about before, so many men are concerned about what happens at the end of a marriage, or if they violate their marriage, or if they get divorced from their wife. So for a woman, women seem to revel in the fact that they're not out here scrambling looking for a man. They revel in the fact that a man chose me to be his wife. He chose me. He asked for me. He waited for me. He accommodated me. And here I am. So I'm worth something. You other bitches out here, you know, yeah, men want to fuck y'all and they want to do this with y'all and do this to y'all and all of that. But if he don't commit to y'all, you ain't got what I got. I've heard it. You've heard it. If a man comes around other men talking about something, yeah, I'm better than y'all because I got a wife. niggas gonna look at him like, this dude done lost his goddamn mind. Like, we out here ducking marriage, and you out here bragging over yours like, yo, dude, slow your roll, homie. Do that. Slow your roll. You doing too much. You doing too much out here, hoes. You doing way too much. Like, if any of us could be married by the end of the week, or today if we vacation in Las Vegas. But anyway, and once again, I'm not saying that men don't value their wives, their marriage status, their marital status, or the gifts that marriage has given them. But it's not our bragging point. It's not something that we brag on. But shout out to all of the men out there that are extremely proud of their wives, extremely proud of their marriages, and extremely proud and supportive of their families. Shout out to all of them. It's not a diss, but you don't really own your marriage, but you do own your marital status. And that wedding ring or that wedding band might be the symbol of materialism that signifies your marital status, and that might be the thing. But I'll tell you one thing. You know, I just got finished saying how men don't brag on their marital status and all that kind of stuff. Years ago, I remember when there were two times. I remember when my brother-in-law, when my sister was in the hospital giving birth to my niece. And, you know, black babies being born, sometimes there's questions about the father, questions about what the baby's last name is going to be. There's questions about the birth certificate. There's questions, 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 questions. So there might be a male present at the time of the birth, or at the time of the signing of the birth certificate or whatever. But oftentimes they're not married. And I remember my brother-in-law being like, when they asked, you know, who's the father of the child or some shit that they asked at the hospital. And he was like, no, that's my wife. That's not my girlfriend. That's not my baby mom. He made sure that they knew, no, we are married. That's my wife. So it was a big deal to him. And I couldn't blame him. I couldn't blame him. But his marriage was important to him, but not necessarily the ring. That's not what he was doting on. That's not what he was defending. He was defending his marital status. He wanted them, you know, all y'all nurses and doctors and all of that. Yeah, I don't know what y'all think this is, but black people do get married and they do have children. They do have children in wedlock, you know, just as much as they do, or just as well as they do out of wedlock. So he wasn't fucking around with that. And there was another time. There was another time when he was in the hospital, you know, getting a procedure done or whatever, because he was a kidney patient. He had kidney failure. And in the years when he was looking for a donor and things like that, his marital status came up. And I remember I was there when his declaration was like, yeah, my wife is on her way up here. Act like y'all. He made sure that you understood. Like, act like y'all know. We not playing no games around here. We not playing no games. All right, so your wedding ring. Your wedding ring. There might be some other things that you own that you really, really have high, that you may claim as being very important to you. It could be something that somebody else gave you. An heirloom. An heirloom could be a ring. An heirloom could be, it could be a necklace. It could be some cufflinks. It could be a charm. It could be something that your great grandparents or whatever have passed down to you. It may be an expensive item, or it may be a sentimental item. It may be something that is so rare. You know, have any of you ever bought jewelry from a pawn shop? Do they even have pawn shops anymore? Of course they do, right? Well, I used to love getting jewelry from a pawn shop. As a matter of fact, this ring, I got this ring from a pawn shop back in like 2000. Oh, yeah.
It's hard. I don't know.
Anyway, look, one thing about pawn shop jewelry is that you're going to see a whole lot of unique items. And the stuff that they have in the display case is nothing compared to the stuff that they have in the back. See, the stuff that they have in the display case is the stuff that they have out there for everybody to see. So if you want to stick up the pawn shop or something like that, you're just going to get the run-of-the-mill stuff. You're going to see some nice stuff, but you're not going to see the really expensive stuff, the really exclusive stuff, the things that were custom-made that people may have pawned, never came to get. So when you go to a pawn shop, you may see a whole lot of jewelry that you're never going to see anybody else with. And you can get it at a decent price because people pawned it. So a pawn is a loan. A pawn is a loan. So let's say you need some extra money, or you're down on your luck or whatever. So you took your PlayStation 5 and you took it to, you took your grandmother's ring that you never thought in your wildest days that you would have to pawn, but you needed some money real quick, so because you were on drugs and you needed some crack. So you took your grandmother's ring down to the pawn shop, and you swore to God, you told God that you were definitely going to get the ring out. But in your addiction, you know, so they gave you $500 for the ring. Now, the ring itself might have been worth thousands of dollars, but they gave you $500. And you could have gotten more on the loan, but you wanted to choose a price that you knew you would be able to get the ring out of. So you chose $500. Okay. You got your pawn ticket. You never came back and got the ring. Now, after a certain amount of time, you can't get the ring anymore. You know, you sacrificed it. So you lost that ring. Now, the pawn shop can sell the ring for however much it wants to. They're going to sell it for at least $500. But they might sell it for $1,000. They might sell it for... Because the ring itself might have been worth thousands. Like I said, it might have been worth $5,000, $10,000, whatever. Well, you go to that pawn shop, they're going to have it appraised. They know how much it's worth. So you go to the pawn shop. The pawn shop might be on the verge of getting ready to close its door. So they're trying to liquidate its inventory. So you got a $7,000 ring for $600. $700, $800, whatever. So I'm only saying, I'm just talking about that to say that a material item that somebody else gave you, passed down to you from, you know, different generations may have significance in your life and in your world, but you owned it and now you don't own it. You had it and now you don't have it. Ansel Jones says, my mental freedom. Well, you might own that, but you might not own it. But we're talking about things that you actually can purchase or that you physically own. You know. So you can't say, you know, your mental freedom, your mental state, your emotional state, your self-esteem. None of that is going to apply for this conversation. But I'm glad that your mental freedom is something that you value. It's something that you have. It's something that's definitely, you know, on your radar as far as importance is concerned. But this time I need like that Michael Jordan autographed basketball that you got in 1987. When the Bulls played the Washington Bullets. I'm talking about that. Because for some people, that might be the most important thing that they own. You might have a coin collection. You might have a baseball card collection. Something that appraises in value. Something that you may want to leave your children or grandchildren or something like that. Something that may define your whole existence. I had a cousin, may he rest in peace now. He used to love trains. I remember he had this train set. It was off the fucking chain. And he used to spend so much time building this train set. It was dope. So we would go down his basement. I was like, dang, man, you added some more track? Yeah, and I added some more mountains. And I added. It was nice. And so Joe says, if you own items in your job and people feel free to take. And so Joe says, let me hold your ink pen. Well, if your ink pen is the most important thing that you own, well, I'm going to say this. You definitely don't. I'm definitely going to say that you don't put a lot of value on the things that you own. Like, I don't care if that was a gold pen or whatever. Like that's the most, you know, the most important thing that you own doesn't have to be the most expensive thing that you own. Let's make sure that we understand the distinction or the separation of the two. I'm not talking about how much something costs. It's how important it is. Like you may be rich enough to afford a plane, and maybe you own a plane, but is that the most important thing that you own? Like if you lost everything, but you still had that plane, would you be good with that? Like, oh yeah, man, you know, times is hard. I gotta sell my house. I gotta sell my car. I gotta get rid of some of my jewels and treasures. I gotta sell off a lot of my assets and stuff like that. But I got this plane, and I don't give a shit if I got to move back into the projects. I'm going to be the only nigga in the projects with a plane. That's what I'm going to do. Because that's the most important thing that I own. So when I move back around the way, people like, nigga, you fell off. Yeah, I mean, you had everything. You was going all around the world. Yeah, I'm saying, and you was doing shit. You was making moves, and you was out here shining, and now you back home. You back in the hood with us. Like, yeah, you right. But I still got a plane. So let me know. Let me know if you want to take a ride sometimes, you know what I mean? And we'll go ahead and catch the subway down to the hangar, catch the subway down to my hangar, where my plane is, you know what I'm saying? We could take a little ride. What you doing Saturday? Like, nigga, what? You still got a plane? Yeah, I still got a plane. That's right, G4. G4. Fly it myself. So let me know when you want to catch an Uber out to the airport and get my plane out the hangar and we could chill. We can go anywhere you want. If you got gas money, you know, I need jet fuel, You know, jet fuel ain't cheap. But if you want to go, if you want to go, if you want to see how fast we can get from Philly, from Philly, Philadelphia International Airport, PHL, to MKE, let me know. What's MKE? Milwaukee. Well, how fast can you go? You want to know? Let me know when you're serious about knowing. Because I live in a hood, but I got a plane. I got a G4. Yeah, I lost everything else. I lost my wife. I lost my kids ain't talking to me. And, you know, the cars I had and all that shit is gone. You know, all the jewelry and all that kind of shit. I'm living right around the way, modest living and all that shit. I'm living a row home. This is a modest row home, but it's a well-kept row home and all that kind of shit. But I got my plane. G4. So like I said, for this conversation, the most expensive thing that you own doesn't necessarily have to be the most important item that you own. You can make that determination yourself. We are talking about the most important item that you own. Now, for some people, the most important item that they may own may be their business. You may have built your business from the ground up. You got it about the mud. You started selling bootleg Tim's and Nike Airs at a stand. Socks, white T-shirts, barrettes, shit like that. You was just hustling and scrambling and hustling. And now you may have a store. And maybe you're on the verge of opening another store. So you got a little chain going on. You know, you got a little franchise going on. Restaurant, something like that. The business that you own, however it is, even if it's an online business, but you own it. You got an LLC. You got an LLC and you doing it. You ain't just one of those cats that'll go out and get an LLC and slap it on the title of the shit to make it look good for people. You might be a legit business owner that's turning a profit on a regular basis, and this is how you feed your family, and this is how you buy your house. This is how you pay for your mortgage. This is how you pay for your car note. This is how you put the clothes on your back, the roof over your head, the shoes on your feet, the money in your pocket, the jewelry on your hands, wrists, neck, ears, all that kind of stuff. And you do own this business. You are a business owner. You are not a worker. You do not receive an hourly salary or even an annual salary. What you do have is the revenue that you generate in each quarter of the fiscal year. That's you. And your business might be something that you'd rather lose your right arm than to lose. Because your business might be something that you want to pass down to your children so they can experience what many of us will never experience, which is generational wealth. So your business might be not only your claim to fame, but this is also your status in the community, and this is also your example of what the black man and woman can do. The black man and woman, the black man or woman. You ain't got to work 9 to 5. You ain't got to punch a clock. You know what I mean? You can map out a business plan for whatever it is that you want to do. You can map out a marketing strategy and get busy. And it might be the most important thing that you own. My business is more than what I can mind. And so it says some items go out of style, but means a lot to you. Yeah, in the case of jewelry. Even if you just look at gaudy ass Slick Rick, you know how Slick Rick always wore those big ass, big giant chains, them big ass medallions and all that kind of stuff. He still wears that shit to this day. And all of that jewelry is from the 80s. Plenty of times gold has gone out, big chains have gone out of style and all of that. He held on to that shit. And when you see him with it in any era, it's like, yo, don't nobody got a jewelry like Slick Rick? It's like his trademark. This nigga got a big ass medallion with the scales on it, like he a Libra. He ain't no Libra. He Capricorn. Shouldn't he have like a mountain goat? A goatfish? You know, because the symbol of Capricorn is the goat and the fish. It's a goatfish. But it's a mountain goat. Maybe the scales of justice mean something to him. But anyway, nonetheless, jewelry doesn't really go out of style because it can appraise in value. So whereas when the end of the 80s and the beginning of the 90s came and cats weren't really wearing big truck jewelry anymore and big giant dookie ropes and all that kind of stuff, it seemed like that stuff was played out. But some people held on to that shit and things came full circle. So you wear a dookie rope from the 80s now, it's like, oh my God, that thing is worth a lot of money. The price of gold goes up. But the reason I brought up Slick Rick is because he went to jail, he kept his jewelry, and when he came home from jail, he had the jewelry dipped in probably white gold or platinum or whatever he did. He lightened it up to make it look like it was platinum. So he like sort of changed with the times. Go Slick Rick. You know what I mean? But what's going on? Barbara Hill Cisse, Bobby Cisse is in the house. Is in the house. But yeah, your business, the business that you own might be the thing that has afforded you everything else in your material world that you have. It's a means of an income. It's how you are going to continue your legacy as a family. You may have something that contributes to the community that has come out of your business. I ain't talking about no restaurant or nothing like that. This ain't Sal's Pizza, you know what I'm saying, and do the right thing. But what I'm saying is you may have a business that was really important to the community. It could be a law office. A law firm is a business. No way around it. It could be a doctor's office. You could be a doctor. All doctors are businessmen. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but they are. Every doctor that you see is a businessman. And many doctors take business courses to be able to learn how to run their medical offices and be able to negotiate decent prices, decent salaries for when they work for hospitals. And most doctors that most surgeons and doctors that work in a hospital are connected with their own medical offices. So that's why they refer their patients to certain hospitals under certain medical plans or insurance plans and things like that. But every doctor is a business person. So you may have had a doctor's office in the hood that made it affordable for people who didn't have good insurance or any insurance to be able to walk in, to be able to, you know, get referrals, to be able your doctor's office might have just been where the children in the community went to get their checkups, and they knew that you were a doctor who cared about the children, cared about the citizens, cared about the elderly, cared about the people who came into your office. They got that personal touch. So that doctor's office, which is that business, might be the thing in the community that meant so much. Yo, I remember when Dr. Such and Such was alive. let's say Dr. Brown. I mean, Dr. Brown, I mean, I was going to go see Dr. Brown when I was like 5 years old. That's the first time I went to go see Dr. Brown, and he was so nice. He used to give us lollipops and stuff like that, and he would give us lollipops and still refer us to the dentist. It was so funny, and I love Dr. Brown. And I miss Dr. Brown. Now, Dr. Brown may have had children who continued his medical practice. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, now his daughter is a doctor. His son may be a doctor. Somebody came up under him, and they're still continuing that medical practice in the community. So, yeah, your business might be everything to you. It might be the most important thing that you own, not just for my family, but for other people's family too, and for other people in the community. You know, so while other doctors don't have that personal touch, well, other doctors won't encourage you to try natural products and techniques and other things. You know, other doctors might just, you know, point you straight to the pill. They might be slaves to the pharmaceutical industry. But you might be that doctor that they can trust, that lawyer that they can trust, that lawyer that they can afford. Well, you know, I felt like I was done wrong in this situation where I feel my job, they fired me unjustly, and you know, I don't have no $20,000 to fight that case. Well, yeah, I understand. We'll tell you what, I'm going to look over the facts of this case or whatever and see what we can do. We can negotiate a price for you to be able to get justice. Maybe if we can't get your job back, we can sue for damages and, you know, be all right. We could be all right. Your business could be the most important thing that you own. Your business could be that thing that gets you over the top. Your business could be your source of pride. Your business might be the most important thing that you own. Ansel Jones says, Flavor Flav's clock. You know what? Have you ever seen Flavor Flav with the same clock? It always seemed like he had a different clock. I'm clocking. Shout out to Flavor Flav, best hype man ever. Best hype man in the business, as far as I'm concerned. Who better than Flav as a hype man? Who? Flav got the whole hype man thing. I don't even think we understood what a hype man was before Flavor Flav. And it's funny, he did it so much, and because he was such an important part of the group, I never even looked at Flav as being a hype man until other people started getting a hype man and they brought up Flavor Flav's name. Like, I was like, Flav was a hype man? I guess he was. I mean, what way did we have around it? But the most important thing that you own. The most important thing to you that you own. What things we talk about? We talk about the house. We talk about the car. We talk about the wedding ring, which is symbolic of the marriage. We talk about your business. We talk about some jewelry and heirlooms. TK Wright came up with some creative material things. She talked about the phone. Phone is an important thing. Now, if your phone was your most important thing that you own, because out of all of those items that we've listed, the phone is probably the easiest thing to lose and the easiest thing to get back. You ain't going to leave your house in the bathroom at a club you went to last night because you was too drunk to remember that you left it on the sink. Your car either. And I swear to God, man, during my drinking days, I used to lose phones all the I couldn't keep a phone to save my life. Every 6 months, I was buying a new phone. No bullshit. I could not keep a phone for a year. Ever. And I started getting cell phones. The first cell phone that I got was in 95. Yeah, that was crazy. 1995 was when I got my first cell phone. And my girl got me the phone. She got me the phone because she had a hookup to where we didn't have to pay for the minutes. I wouldn't do that again, though. It was a clone phone, but she knew everything. I wouldn't do that again. You know what I mean? I remember that shit, 1995, and here I am 25 years old. I ain't understand all of that. That tracking stuff that went on with a phone. I bet you she did. She was younger than me. Jealousy is but yeah. Woo. But yeah, I couldn't keep a phone. I was losing phones all the time. Always losing a phone. Shirley, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. Shirley, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. We about to get on about it, y'all. We about to get on about it. I know I was a little late. But we still won't get on up out of here because I got to go to work tonight. I'm off tomorrow, though. And I'm happy. I'm just going to let the fact that I don't have to work tomorrow dictate exactly how my night is going to go tonight. We're going to cruise. Baby, let's cruise away from here. All right, let's do these birthday shout outs. We have some birthday shout outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious July 3rd, and they deserve to be acknowledged, so let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box. My girl Tammy Williams, happy birthday to you, and also April Evans, turning 34 years old today, and can't forget Pretty Angel, happy birthday to you, and Dominga Gomez, turning 45 years old today, and Barbara Gideon, happy birthday to you, and O'Carry, Iberi, Sylvia, and also Veronica Pittman, and last but not least, my girl, Sandy Whaley Gibson, turning 65 years old today. I hope that today finds you all in good health, in this mind, body, soul, and spirit. And that goes to each and every last person born on this glorious July 3rd, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out. Rock on into the dance. The dance. I rock out. Rock on into the damn. Rock out. Rock on into the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen, check it out. The most important thing that you own, hopefully the most important thing that you own goes along with your spirit, goes along with your heart, goes along with your love, goes along with your meaning of life. But we are talking about things that can be paid for, things that can be bought and sold, things that can be stolen, things that can be recovered. You know, and when we talk about your heart and your soul and your meaning of life, I don't know if those things can necessarily have those tragedies happen to them. But nonetheless, some of these things, even though they are material items, it doesn't mean that they are insignificant. It doesn't mean that they are gaudy. It doesn't mean that they are a status symbol. But they can mean that. And if it means that to you, then it means that to you. You don't owe nobody no explanation. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't value what you value. That's yours, baby. That's yours. You know what I mean? Do you like it? Do you want it? Yeah, but if you had it, would you flaunt it? Hell yeah. Well, it's yours. Sound and rhythm. Sound and rhythm. Something with finesse is equivalent to the adjective best. Now it's time to introduce Neo Rhyme Complete with the juice. Dance to the musical tune with the microphone going to make you swoon. T-L-A-R-O-C-K, usually the reason for a very nice day. We came here to rock it, that's the ultimate act that only occurs when the party is packed. So full of endurance for your insurance. Everything's fixed, just listen to the mix. All right, y'all. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow night for another Daily Go Get 'Em-ism show. Unless something happens tomorrow night that is so July 4th-ish that it says, man, I ain't doing no show tonight. I'm having fun. But imagine me having fun. Ah, never happens. All right, y'all. Love is love, baby. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. I want to thank y'all for spending y'all Power Monday with the God. Yeah, and I hope that it wasn't hard. All right. So Blog Talk, we going to get you out of here. Yeah.